In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we celebrate the memory of St. Jova Pachayev, who's one of the great saints of the Russian Church, but has a special significance to those of us in the Russian Church outside of Russia, which we shall see. He was born in 1551, which was just 5 years after the death of Martin Luther, so he was born in the wake of the Protestant Reformation. And one thing that the Protestant Reformation launched was the Counter-Reformation. The Roman Catholic Church had been very morally corrupt in many cases, but it wasn't aggressive towards the Orthodox either, so there were some good aspects of the way things were before the Reformation. But at the time of the Protestant Reformation, the Roman Catholic Church cleaned up its act in many respects because they felt the sting of many of the Protestants' accusations about the moral decay that had come into the Roman Catholic Church. But along with that came a new zeal. In one direction, of course, they were responding to the Protestants, and so they were zealously combating them, both in terms of polemics and also in terms of actual religious wars that were raging on and off for, 100 years or so after the Protestant Reformation began. But a side effect of the Counter-Reformation was they took a renewed interest in the Orthodox that lived within some of their Roman Catholic kingdoms, most notably the Polish kingdom, which at this time controlled most of the Ukraine. And so he grew up in this context, but he came from a very pious family. At birth, he was given the name John, named after St. John the Baptist. His family name was Zhelezo, which in Russian means iron, which is why you heard in the Beatitudes he had a name that signifieth iron. And the writers of his life point out that he had the zeal of St. John the Baptist. He was a preacher of repentance, but he also had a firm faith, a faith that was as firm as iron. At the age of only 10, he left his home to go to a nearby monastery, and he was tonsured a monk at the age of 12, and he took the name Job in monasticism, Job the Much Suffering. And like his namesake, he was a very patient and long-suffering man. He lived a long life and he endured many things, but he never relented in his faith. He was engaged in many of the religious debates that were going on at this time. He was trying to defend the Orthodox flock from two influences. One was the Roman Catholics, of course, although this was to heat up even more so later on in his life. But there were also Protestants that were trying to convert the Orthodox. And one form of Protestantism in particular, which is more akin to Unitarianism, or maybe even the Jehovah's Witnesses, although they're more liberal than the Jehovah's Witnesses, this was the Socinians, which were founded by a man by the name of Fausto Sozzini, who was an Italian. But unlike the mainstream reformers, he did not believe in the Trinity, and he held a number of other views that were objectionable to the mainstream Protestant reformers, and so he was made to feel unwelcome in Western Europe. And so he went to Poland, which at this time, of course, as I said, included Ukraine. And so him and his followers were very active in trying to spread their erroneous faith among the Orthodox. And so St. Job wrote many things and debated these people, but he also engaged the Roman Catholics. Around the year 1580, Duke Constantine Ostrogski, who was a duke in the Kingdom of Poland, but he was a pious Orthodox Christian. And he was very zealous in trying to promote the Orthodox faith and to defend it against these various heresies. And so, becoming aware of St. Job and his zeal for the faith, he asked him to come to the Monastery of the Exaltation of the Cross in Dubno, and he was the abbot there for 20 years. This same duke established a printing press that St. Job oversaw. And in 1581, not long after he was made the abbot, this printing press produced the Ostrog Bible, which was the very first complete translation of the Slavonic Bible, and because of the printing press, it was widely distributed. And it strengthened the Orthodox Christians very much to have a translation of the scriptures that they were able to understand. And this Bible was later reprinted very regularly in Russia, and is still in print to this day. In 1596, the Union of Brest occurred. This is where a large group of Orthodox were pressured into accepting the authority of the Pope and breaking their communion with the Orthodox Church. And so in the wake of this, because you had bishops that betrayed the faith and went into apostasy, those faithful that refused to accept this union with Rome were treated very harshly. When they would hold a liturgy, it was not uncommon for Polish soldiers to go in there and disrupt the liturgy, overthrow the chalice. When Orthodox Christians died because they had died from their perspective outside of the church, they were denied even Christian burial. In 1604, this is 3 years before the first English settlers came to Jamestown, St. Job came to Pachayev. He had become very famous, and he sought the Pachayev Lavra because he believed that he would be able to have more solitude and devote himself more to his life of prayer. But not long after he got there, he began establishing a printing press at Pachayev, which continued the work that he had been doing at the previous monastery. And this printing press greatly aided the Christians in the Western Ukraine by providing them with service books and providing them with other material that helped them to understand their faith and to defend the faith against Protestantism and Roman Catholicism. In 1628, he took part in a council that was held in Kiev, which was convened and condemned the Unia and affirmed their loyalty to the Orthodox faith. St. Job was not just an apologist, though. He was a great man of prayer, and it said that when he was in his cell saying the Jesus prayer, that people were able to see that his cell was filled with a light. He reposed in 1651 at the age of 100, and not long before he passed away, the Cossacks of the Ukraine began a rebellion which liberated about half of the Ukraine from the Poles and brought it into the Russian Empire. After his death, on July the 20th of 1675, the Turks laid siege to Pachayev. And I should just, as an aside, the history is very complicated because you not only have the Poles and the Russians and the Cossacks fighting each other, but then you have occasionally the Turks making an incursion into the Ukraine. So it's a very complicated history. But they laid siege to the monastery at Pachayev. And so the people who sought refuge within the walls of the monastery, as well as the monks, fervently prayed before the Pachayev icon of the Mother of God, which was a miraculous icon which is commemorated on other days of the year, and also before the relics of St. Job. And 3 days later, as the Turks were attacking the walls of the monastery, they saw a vision of the Mother of God and also of St. Job. And as they would fire their arrows at the Mother of God, the arrows would fly back and wound the Turks. And it said that many Turks converted to the Orthodox faith when they had this vision, because it was a pretty undeniable manifestation of which faith was right. The printing press that St. Job established continued at Pachayev up until about 1924, because of the turmoil after the First World War and then the Russian Revolution made things difficult for that to be maintained. And so a large part, maybe perhaps even most, of the Brotherhood of St. Job moved to Czechoslovakia to be able to continue their operations in peace. Then during World War II, they went into Munich. After World War II, they came to the United States, and they established the printing press in Jordanville, New York. There were 14 monks that came from the Pachayev Monastery that came to Jordanville, including Metropolitan Loris, who at that time was a very young man. And so the Brotherhood at Jordanville is named the Brotherhood of St. Job of Pachayev, because that's the continuation, in part, of the legacy of St. Job. But also there remained a small part of the Brotherhood in Munich, which that monastery also continues to this day, and it's also dedicated to St. Job. And today there's a thriving Pachayev Lavra again, which is also a continuation of that legacy. What do we take away from the life of St. Job? Well, one thing, St. Job wasn't afraid to use the media that was available to him at that day. The printing press was a relatively new thing at his time, but he put it to good use to spread the Orthodox faith. And I believe if St. Job was alive today, he would have a website, he would be printing books, he would be using any other kind of media that was available to him. You'd probably see his sermons on YouTube, because he would be making use of these things, because he was such a fervent advocate of the Orthodox faith, and he wanted to use whatever means were at his disposal to convey that to the people, because Orthodox Christians, particularly when they're in a context where their faith is being challenged, the government is opposed to them, need that kind of help, and they need that kind of strengthening. They need someone to inspire them to embrace their faith. And that's not a whole lot unlike we find ourselves in here in America. We're not persecuted by the government by any means, but we are surrounded by non-Orthodox Christians here. The same is true in Western Europe and also in the Ukraine and in Russia. The faith is being challenged by many other religions now. And so we need to make use of whatever media is available to us to bring that faith to the people. And in Russia, when I was there in 2007, I noticed that the Russian Orthodox Church had two different channels that were on television in Moscow. And so the Russian Church is continuing to use whatever is at its disposal. When the internet was relatively new and you first started seeing websites, one thing that some people thought was rather ironic was that the Orthodox seemed to be ahead of the curve. There were Orthodox websites before Protestants and even Roman Catholics started to have the same level of presence on the internet. And that's because being a minority in the West, we recognize that we needed that thing. And so I think St. Job could even be considered the patron saint of multimedia because he used it, and we should ask for his prayers to guide us in the proper use of these media, because obviously that media can be used badly, just as the printing press can be used badly, but it can be used for good, and we need to pray that he will give us the wisdom to do so. But we also need to follow his firmness in the faith. Despite all the doubt that surrounds us, all the apostasy, betrayal, and turmoil that we see, because we're in a time of turmoil and transition much like the time of St. Job. But we have to have the faith of iron that he had and never give up the good fight of the faith. Amen.